All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing? It's a Thursday on The Usual Suspects, and Barry's here, and I'm here, and Musical Chairs Week continues as Nick is there in Vegas.
Thank God.
Which means...
Kidding.
Hey.
Trey is here.
Why does he do that to
you? Because I get to, right, Trey?
No, be nice to him.
I'm always nice to you.
Nobody gets a pass.
Thank you.
Oh, really?
He did get me Converse, so I appreciate that.
I was going to say, yeah.
So you get him stuff so you can make fun of him? Is that why?
No.
That doesn't seem nice.
The point is I'm nice to him.
That's the most friendliest bullying I've ever heard in my life.
Right? It's like, here's a gift. Now let me shove you down, you twerp.
Nah, I'm just joking.
Yeah, okay.
Look, now you're threatening it as a... Yeah. Oh, I almost said a word you're not allowed to say anymore.
Well, that would not be... It would be a day that ends in a Y.
As a Native American... A Native American giver?
Oh, boy.
Why do you always almost swear anytime I'm on?
Test you.
It's not just anytime you're on, Trey. Trust me.
All right.
My whole life is an almost swear.
Really?
Yeah.
But you can just swear when you're not on the microphone.
Yeah. I live a good, wholesome Christian life.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about
that.
Yeah,
you know.
Barry normally does that to test Nick, because if it's been a bad night, Nick will hit the dump button anyway. He'll just dive for it, even though he didn't actually say it. And then if he says it and Nick doesn't really react, then he's like, okay, we're good.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true. And sometimes Joel will say stuff, and I'm like, I don't think you can say that.
This is true.
So
That's how it is kind of on late hits sometimes. Jason will just say some crazy stuff.
You're comparing Barry and I to Jason and Patrick. I'm just asking.
You lasted 2 minutes, bud. You made it a whole 2 minutes before Joel hates you.
I was just saying that's how it is.
He's doing the lip. That's it.
When you get this face, Trey, you're screwed. Yep.
Yeah.
When the lips pucker, it's over. He's mad at you.
Yeah. I think he's mad. Yeah. I can tell.
Let me explain show etiquette to you. You can't come on another show and be a guest on the show producing and then mention your show within 2 minutes. That's just rude.
Yeah, that's kind of messed up.
You
got to
wait at least five.
I got it. Yeah, I should have waited.
You got 3 more minutes.
Yeah, that's my bad.
You'd have been okay.
I apologize to the suspects out there.
You got to be a better teammate. Yeah.
Yes.
Coach better. I like that. Well, we're happy to have you, Trey, today and tomorrow. We're going to miss Nicholas, but I see he's already partying hard. I saw him with a cigar and a Corona, which I was like, I don't think I've ever seen that combo.
Lobby bar at the MGM.
But I was like, a cigar and a Corona? Who's doing that?
Yeah, normally he, when
like
we
cigar
were
cigar and cognac.
On the road, I thought he did some kind of a hard liquor. Evidently not.
That's later. That's when I tease him about getting herpes. The hard liquor, never mind.
Yeah.
But a cigar and Corona, I had never seen that combo.
Me neither. I feel like that's kind of like you're trying to be fancy, but you're trying to stick to your roots of not being fancy.
Like he's got so he's holding the cigar between his fingers as you would a cigar, but he's drinking a Corona. And I was like, well, either you have to replace the Corona with a cognac or replace the cigar with a taquito.
Nope.
No?
Nope. Not me. You. Not me.
I'm just like, you want them to match, right?
Yeah, it seems a little mismatched.
Trey.
But I don't drink. Yeah. But yeah, I get where you're coming
from. Well, you had your first shot on this show. Let's be real.
Yeah, it tasted like freedom.
Is that where it came from?
Yeah.
I don't know. Was that the chip? Which one was it?
That was the shot.
The shot? Okay. The chip is the one you said it tasted like a pantry.
Yeah,
one that rattled your boiler room for like 24
that
hours.
Was the chip,
right?
But I was talking about the olive oil.
It tasted like a pantry. Got it.
It tasted like a pantry.
Oh, it's going to be a fun 2 days.
Yeah.
It's already off to a hilariously bad start.
Yes, which is what you would expect.
Hey, I got to give a shout out real fast to U of H Cougars men's basketball.
I was just going to throw you to that.
I went last night.
I saw that.
A lot of fun. Granado and I are best friends.
People thought you hated each other?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, someone tweeted it. Someone said, I thought these two guys hated each other. But then it was, where's Waldo? They literally stalked you into a photo, and they said you're next to each other? I couldn't find your ass for 5 minutes.
So, couple things about that. So, Granato and I are there. First of all, Granato and I don't hate each other.
Right.
Never have.
Just don't like each other.
I give him a hard time. He gives me a hard time. No, actually, I love Granato. I grew up listening to Granato. I mean, I don't know if that's a shot at him being old.
I don't know that he wants to hear that. But
I mean, Granato and Lance and Charlie literally are the reason why I wanted to get into sports talk radio. I'm not even pretending.
I thought you were a Rich Lord guy.
Oh, you son of a. So, but no, we were hanging out, and then we got to meet Noah, was one of the listeners that won tickets from our show that showed up and brought his fam, and I got to meet them as well, and that was fun. But that was my first trip to Fertitta Center, and I got to say, it is nice. It is really
great.
Badass thing.
I have yet
arena.
To go. I'm going to go to the Memphis game.
The crazy thing is, and Granato and I were talking about this, is it felt like it was maybe half full last night. And it's Tulsa. You're not going to get a lot. I mean, you know, Tulsa, to get half full on a Wednesday versus Tulsa, doing that's pretty good, actually.
Yeah.
And the thing is, when it got loud, it sounded like there was a butt in every seat. It got really loud. And I started to wonder, I would imagine it's not because it was full, obviously, but the way they built it acoustically, they have a dome, so I guess that reverberates the sound. And, oh, man, it sounds amazing in there.
This is what I was telling you about a few weeks ago. This is the new conceptual idea on college basketball, which was taboo for years. Like, it had to be bigger and bigger and bigger for the arena.
7,100 is what it holds.
Now they're going to, like, the Rice Owls philosophy of build a cracker box, but make it with all the amenities and make it loud as hell so you can actually have a home court advantage. Because, like you said, if you got a 10,000-seat arena like Hoffman's used to be, but you only get 2,500, it's like playing, you know, the road team's not intimidated by that.
Right. And I tell you what, there's not a bad seat in the house. It's pretty much one level. You know, it's not like two levels or anything like that. There's not a bad seat in the house. We sat kind of near the band, and it was just, we were on the, behind a basket almost, but offset to the right a little bit. But still, you could see everything. You could hear everything. It's a beautiful arena. I can't say enough good things about it.
That's great.
And if you are a basketball fan or a college basketball fan, I just want to encourage you to just go catch a game. Just go to one game. And it's one of those things when you're there, you're like, why don't I do this more? Because that's exactly what I was thinking. Mm-hmm. So why don't I come to more basketball here? This is amazing.
Yeah.
It was a lot of fun. And not the best first half of basketball, 26-20. Right. That's a little bad shooting, good defense.
Second half, at least one team, the home team, the right team, got a little bit hotter.
Yeah, there was a couple fights. There was a couple ejections, lots of technicals. So it was a busy second half.
Yep.
First half was a defensive struggle, or an offensive struggle, good defense, maybe. I don't know. It was pretty poor shooting on both teams. But they handled business and avenged that loss from back in January. There's a lot, though, that I need to unwrap about my time there. First of all, the picture with me and Granato was from a listener, I'm assuming, because how else would they know it was me and Granato?
I hope so.
From somewhere in the arena. I don't know where. It wasn't in our section. It wasn't anywhere close to our section. But he tweeted out, and Granato shows it to me. He goes, hey, look, this guy tagged us on it. So they, you know, apparently they know we're here. I was like, really? I didn't get that tag on my timeline. And then I was like, Granato, this is a cool trick. But I said, I only get notifications from people that follow me. And just FYI, if you're listening and you don't follow me on Twitter, but you tweeted me, I don't see it. Because I figure if you're going to talk crap to me or you want to interact with me, the least you could do is follow. That's it. That's all I'm asking.
You're going to need to help me with that, as I will tell you why later.
Just click follow and we're good, right? So Granato goes, oh, you can do that? I was like, yeah. He goes, that's a great idea. So I unchecked the box just to see the tweet. Still wasn't showing up. I was like, and normally it will. You'll see whatever was hidden and muted populate. And I was like, why isn't it there? So I was like, just tag me on it again. So he tags me on it again and I look. That guy has me blocked.
Has you blocked?
Yeah. I was like, I don't know what I must have said something disparaging about Trump or something. I don't know. But
so
I got
that could be a concern, right? He's taking random photos and he knows where you're at. You don't know where he's at, and he blocked you? Based on some of the followers, quote unquote, we've had since we started this show, that could be a concern.
It's a little weird.
Yeah.
I mean, I know people have me blocked because I said mean things about Trump or
Let's be Democrats honest. You just say mean
or, things. I just, the true.
Or they, Friday, you were rolling.
Like PETA.
Or I, they corrected your spelling.
No, that's me blocking them. Yeah, okay. Yeah, no, I block them if they correct my spelling or grammar. Oh. But, yeah, so
I
that one.
Backwards.
Yeah, that's okay. And that, so that kind of threw me for a little bit. But there's so much that I need to unpack, and we can talk about the game. Cougs, after that rough first half, 23-8 run to start the second half. That was pretty much ball game after that. But there are other things I need to talk about. We need to talk about. There was a lot of worst first for me.
Okay.
So there was the worst halftime display of shooting I've ever seen. Need to get to that at some point. There was the worst t-shirt cannon I've ever seen.
Okay.
There was the worst throwing of a football I've ever seen. And then there's
now
the
you did see some of those Dr. Pepper commercials. Competitions during the college football playoffs, right?
And then we need to talk about row etiquette.
I saw all your tweets. Yeah.
These are all things we need to unpack at some point. And I do want to just point out, if you've never been to the U of H campus, I didn't know this, but I was leaving the campus. By the way, love U of H, love the campus, need better parking.
Yeah, everybody says that.
No
need
doubt.
To get, need 100%. To get better parking. But I was leaving, and I'm at the light, and there's these robots on the sidewalk. Three robots that say student delivery or something like that.
Oh, I saw it on the news. Yeah.
What is that? That was so creepy that I was like, what? There's something in there for somebody else that's just trolling around campus?
I think it's basically food-centric, but I believe that you can order food, and the robot, kind of like the whole Amazon delivery thing they've been experimenting with, I believe that it like delivers to the dorms and everything.
How is a homeless man not attacked this yet?
Yeah, for real.
It's U of H campus. There's a couple of homeless people. Let's be real. Yeah. How has that not been attacked yet?
We have enough U of H alums.
I'm sure.
Kirsten and others probably need to chime in on that one.
Because I was fascinated by it. I thought, that is really cool that they're doing that. And the other cool technology that I saw at U of H that I have never seen before, maybe you have or listeners out there, but as I'm walking from where I parked, the cash lot that's 35 miles away, you have to pass by the parking garage that's right across from the Fertitta mm-hmm. Center for donors to park mm-hmm. in. And they have these lights down every row. And they're on the ceiling, basically, and they're red and green.
Yeah.
And I think they signify whether a spot is open on that row.
Yeah, they do at the hospitals and on the med center.
Really?
Yeah.
I have never seen that before.
Yeah.
I thought that was fascinating.
Yeah, it's very cool.
I was like, wow, every garage needs that from now on. I don't know why we don't have that everywhere. That's got to be not that much to implement, right?
I don't know, but I mean, obviously the med center has enough money that they implemented, but if U of H can do it too, we're doing
pretty dope.
Progress.
Pretty dope.
All right, we're just getting started. Lots to get to, unfold and unpacked. As Barry said about the U of H game last night, I've got a few things because obviously I was on Twitter, not just because I saw Barry's tweets. We can get to that because Yankees fans are just a little bit over the top. And of course, Trey will be with us. At some point, we'll get a NASCAR update because we said we wouldn't go anywhere else but Trey if we were going to get anything about what happened in NASCAR. So lots to get to. Please join the show. HR&P listener line, 713-780-3776. Call that number, text that number. Hit us on Twitter where it's at Barry is funny, at Pac-Man Joel with a K, and at Juggalo _ Trey. Correct, Trey?
48.
Oh, you've added 48 for Jimmy
Johnson.
Yeah,
well, it's always been 48.
It's weird, but true. You can find Jugs just by going Juggalo Trey. All right, just getting started. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Just get it started on The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Barry and Joel, Nick in Vegas, Trey in with us here at Gal Media Studios. He'll be here today and tomorrow. Yes, he's gone through puberty, people on text message. Not
you
nice.
Know what?
I Somebody goes, has your producer gone through puberty yet?
That's such a tired insult. Like, come up with something better. Like, maybe you sound like the dude from, I don't know. Just come up with something better.
Yeah.
I was going to say, don't offer it up to them, Trey. Let them do some work.
I guess.
Formal warning, though. After yesterday's Barry warning, if they're not good today, we'll do it again. We'll cut you off.
Yeah.
Just plain and simple. Because I had a bad experience last night.
Oh, okay. Do tell.
Yeah, because we've more to get on the U of H. But,
sure.
So the guys at Sports Map we cut a video yesterday, and all it was about, and it was a legit point from my perspective, which was, I think just like people get blue check marks on Twitter, there has to be something that polices the authenticity of the actual tweets or video, especially when they're calling it out as fact.
Oh, that's a good idea. You know what also I like is people that are bat bleep crazy should have a certain mark.
Mm-hmm.
Just instead of like a blue check mark, just like a red X, like this person is insane.
No, that's right. Yeah. I agree with that too. So my point being, and again, you've heard me in all of our discussions. I know the Astros cheated. I've said they've cheated and all those things. So the headline was just about the media instead of journalistic integrity, which used to be a big thing. Now it's about clicks and likes and how many people share it. And then how many people in a group can you get to gang up on somebody? So the fact, like, for instance, the Altuve home run that everybody went nuts about that said he changed his shirt after the home run, went down to the dugout, did this, did that. And then when you actually watch the footage of the game itself run back, he never did any of those things. So much so that Harold Reynolds pointed it out. So that's all it was about. It wasn't about, darn, I feel sorry for the Yankees, or Yankees suck, or Astros, you know, this, that, and everything. Oh, my God. And this is not shocking, by the way. Yankee fans came out of the closet, out of the woodwork. They literally had to search for this to find it from wherever they are in the country. Gino Cicerucci and Pacarelli and all these guys are like, hey, yo, that's not right, man. Yo, F you, you clown. I'm like, oh, we're going to start with name calling right off the top because I'm sure your mom's charging you rent for staying in the basement, but I guess I got some storage space in your head, but you didn't even watch the video. And then they kept, and I was just like, God, I guess if the shoe was on the other foot, we obviously would have a problem. If the Astros got screwed, I get I'd be upset, but right off the top, just like looking for this stuff.
Well, here's the difference. If the Astros were the ones that lost a World Series to a team that cheated, sure, we would be upset. But would you be searching the internet ridiculously looking for any tweet about it so that you could go and yell at somebody from that city?
It's the same thing you said when we were talking about the fact that when they were in the series itself, Yankee fans would like make death threats at the stadium and otherwise to Astros fans. It's like, it's not that serious. That's what I was texting, I was tweeting that last night too, going, bro, this is sports. It's not life. It's not like life and death. It's just people's escape.
But these are Yankees fans and they're losers and don't have a life. That's the problem.
I found that out.
Is that they are literally spending their entire life searching for mean things to say about the Astros. Yeah. And that's what you're dealing with. And it's just a bunch of idiots. So you need to use the setting I use.
He showed me how to do it.
Which says, mute any tweets or mentions from people that don't follow me. Because then all these dumbass Vinny Barbarinos from New York, you would never see their tweets. And you know, life is so good when you don't see all the hate. And I'm going to tell you right now, it's the best.
Here's the other thing. Okay? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So John Boy, they write the headline, and then they use a picture, split screen of Altuve and John Boy. The picture they got of John Boy, he was wearing a Yankees hat, but they took the liberty of putting a full-blown Yankees logo like their on-field hat on John Boy. Oh my God, John Boy, someone tagged him on it, so then he sent it back out, but they were pissed that they took off the sports map handle. But then he was, and that just started another fire, and everybody was getting, I was like, oh my God, and no one's even talking about the content of the video.
So basically, sports map is beefing with
everybody in New York.
Really?
Yeah. Everybody in New York was fired up at Sports Map and me last, and they tagged me.
How long do you?
I got everything.
You need that setting so bad.
I have to.
You really need that setting so bad. I've basically resorted to also having to send the following message out. I've now got it locked and loaded on my clipboard. And I just, when someone tweets me about the Astros, oh, where the hell did it go? Well, I've lost it now.
Maybe you're not following yourself.
No, this is what I copy and paste on any Astros tweet that I'm tagged on. Please stop tagging me on Astros related cheating tweets. Copying and paste it because I don't care anymore. And I'm literally copying and pasting that. And every time someone tags me, I just reply with that. That's my reply to their tweet. And by the way, since we're on the topic, shout out to Larry Tesler, rest in peace. He has been moved to the recycling bin in the sky.
Yeah.
It's the man that invented cut, copy, and paste. He has passed away at the age of 74. So he's at the big recycle bin in the sky. And shout out to him.
Don't you think it's a little bit too soon?
For what?
To make jokes about moving him to the recycling bin.
Well, I didn't clear the recycling bin.
That's true.
We just moved him there. He moved himself there.
Good point.
Did you catch him? It's only the second segment, by the way, and he just did the noise that we made the entire remix of.
I didn't catch it.
You no. mentioned Larry's name, and you went, yeah, right off the top. It's
I
like,
didn't catch it. I wasn't listening segment. For it. You know he's going to pick on you for the entire 2 days.
I am
you're aware
old
of
me,
that, right?
Me, Dad.
You're aware
you're his
of that,
dad,
right?
And you're going to tell me.
Have I picked on you? Do I pick on you, Trey?
Daily.
Every now and again.
No,
but
you shut up. Turn your mic off. We don't need to hear from you.
Scott Hutchings says, Trey sounds like how I envision Barry's cat talks. Oliver.
That's pretty good. I'll give him that one.
That's fantastic. Trey, we're just going to call you Oliver.
That's a good wreck.
But if I say Oliver like this.
He wrecked ya. Oh my gosh, that is so funny.
That's pretty good.
That was very good.
Yeah, so. And
wow, good job, Scott.
So the Sports Map guys were just chuckling that, hey.
Well, I'm sorry you got all that Yankee hate, but I can't imagine that there was a lot of complete sentences in the tweets to begin with. It was you probably had to just, you know.
Here's the headline was a damning look at sports media in the year 2020. That's it. Okay. And all the Yankee fans took out of it was, you cheated, yo, and we didn't get the title, and they're about to give it us back, and you're a clown, and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, oh, my God, you're an idiot.
Yeah, that would be frustrating.
Then he finished one of his tweets. One of the guys finished one of his tweets and put sorry, ! I was like, bro, I understand you wanted to apologize for how embarrassing you've been. But he goes, what are you talking about? I would never give you the grace of day to apologize to you. And I'm like, bro, go back and look at your last tweet where you said sorry at the end. You're basically apologizing. It's writing. He's like, man, I screwed up. I ain't doing that. I didn't do that. I was like, all right, I'm done. My work here is finished.
Yeah, that sounds like a fun night. I can't believe you entertained it all. I would have just.
No, there wasn't muted. Much on TV.
I would have just gone and muted the whole conversation. I can't tell you how many times. Oh, my own tweets sometimes. Like, I tweeted about Trump's tax plan, and oh my God, a scuffle broke out on Twitter about it. I had to mute my own tweet. The notifications from. I was like, oh, can't do this anymore. Tired of seeing all these notices.
The debate last night had everybody up in arms. We were watching that.
I heard that was awful.
Bloomberg got wrecked.
Yeah, I heard it was really bad.
I even tweeted
as much as said, man, apparently it went really bad.
Did y'all see the...
But don't sleep on Bloomberg, man.
No, don't.
I know it's been 64 allegations of sexual misconduct, but that didn't stop Trump from getting elected.
Hey, did y'all see that hat that was blue and it said Make America Great Again, but it was a blue hat instead of a red hat?
That's pretty funny.
I did think that... I obviously know that Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren were sure, because if they raised their hand one more time on every point that everybody else was made... Right away. Hand up,
really?
hand up. And then I thought Bernie was going to die on stage at least five times. He got all red in the face, and he's like,
blah, 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 blah,
blah, blah. And I'm like, oh my God, Lisa, he may just fall over.
I look at that, and you know, for me, I am a staunch middle-of-the-road person. I don't lean Republican or Democrat, all right? I just don't want to... I don't like our current president. I didn't like it. I didn't vote for Obama the second time for the same reason, okay? I don't like our current president, but I don't know if I like the options again. So we're right back in this loop that we were when it was time when I had to choose between Hillary and Trump. I didn't like either of those options. I just feel like we're headed right back. Is there any good politicians to choose from in this country?
No.
That's a good point, Trey. No is the answer.
There you have it. We're going to continue to move on. Half hour in, 3 hour show. We take you till 4. Blitz is in Vegas. They'll take you till 7. Nick, who basically just moonlights on our shows, is in Vegas with the Blitz. And so they'll have Radio Row stuff and getting ready for the big fight this weekend. Lots to be entertained by and stay tuned for. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Nick out, Trey in, as we start the two-day festivities that come with Jugs Fest when Trey sits in with us, as we're always happy to have Trey Campbell with us. Not a whole lot going on in sports last night, but you did get to see the local sport that was
going on. The only local thing that was happening, right?
Yep. U of H got another win. Like you said, revenge for a loss early in the year against Tulsa. Got to keep winning as they stay within the top 25.
Yep.
and hope to get a higher seed getting ready for the tournament. But look, Kelvin Sampson and his team play a fun brand of basketball because they are – it's kind of like when Yates plays in high school ball, only a little different. They got the defensive side of it. They don't get as intense offensively and score as many points. But they got a bunch of athletic guys that can do a lot of different things.
Yeah, the first half was a little rough. 26-20 for a basketball game, even college in the first half is – I mean, you're on what? You're on track for a 52-40 night. And that was – but you talk about turning it up in the second half. I mean, they doubled their output in the first half offensively. And Mills came in. Noah had mentioned this to one of the listeners that went. He couldn't miss. Caleb Mills was just, it was almost like NBA Jams. He was on fire. There was a flame coming off of him. He just could not miss. They really picked up their shooting in the second half. And I'll tell you what, you hear all the time about not great perimeter shooting, but they get after you on defense. They play, and let me tell you what, they get after you on defense. Yeah. That is, I mean, it's almost like that's their priority. They don't care about.
That's a staple of Kelvin Sampson. That's why I said that these guys play D because Kelvin Sampson, if you don't play D, you're not getting on the floor.
Well, it shows. They're great. They're great rotating off the ball, too. There were several times where, and it's, I'm surprised because watching the game, Tulsa liked to run a 2-3 zone or they would switch to a 3-2 zone. Basically just forcing U of H to shoot it, which I get. That's what I would do too, you know, beat us from the outside. And Caleb Mills started to do that in the second half. U of H runs a lot of man defense, but you still have to rotate. You still have to pick up players. And they did a great job of that all night long. So it is a, like you said, it's a fun, it's not going to be, you know, they're not going to score 100 every night.
Right.
But if you like seeing dudes dive on the floor, getting after it, playing great defense. It was a lot of fun watching this team live and in person play basketball. Good times.
Yeah, that's good. So that's very cool.
Duke getting blown out was a shock.
Boy, did they. I mean, a kid hits the half-court shot for NC State, and I thought, well, that's a 14-point lead. It's still, with a half to play, it's still Duke. They can come back on this. They just got plastered. And the thing is, as much as we talk about the likes of Belichick after a loss or Saban after a loss, there's a whole article about when Coach K loses, even if he knows the other coach really well, he does this death march where he barely shakes hands in the handshake line. If the other coach tries to talk to him, he doesn't stop. You have to get him on a drive-by as he's going by you. And I watched, and they had different ones from different games. I'll be damned. Every single time he loses.
But he's all Mr. Chummy and, Chum, happy guy when he wins.
And I want to say, I forget who it was, if it was Bill Self or somebody, but there's one where they literally know he's going to do it, so they slap him in the ass on the way by, and he still doesn't even change his expression and keeps going.
Did he do it last night? Obviously, I didn't get to see it.
Yeah, no one slapped him in the butt, but yeah, he did it last night. He just did the blow-by on the coaches.
That's hilarious.
He actually looked for the... Normally the coaches slap everybody's hand, even if you're those guys that don't play. He wasn't slapping the guys that didn't play his hand.
It's funny because you don't want somebody to be a good loser. You don't want somebody to be like okay with losing, but you don't want to come off as a poor sport either. You know, you don't want to be a guy that you can't go and congratulate somebody after losing. That's just a bad look. But maybe that's what makes him who he is. I tell you, it's funny. There was discussion, is Roy Williams done at North Carolina?
No, I don't think he's done. He's just extremely frustrated.
It ain't going well.
Well, he's had a lot of injuries. He got a kid in Anthony that was a McDonald's All-American. It's Greg Anthony's kid, but he's been hurt for a lot of the year. So I just think he just has to get another good recruiting class and he'll be fine. But it's been tough for him this year. I mean, Roy Williams is Mr. like Bible Belt Central. Like, he didn't cuss or anything. The other night they lost to Notre Dame in a tight game and he dropped an F-bomb and then was apologizing, and it was like it's taking its toll on him. But Carolina's obviously having a down year.
Well, it's not going well, especially if you start getting mentioned in tweets along with Muffet McGraw and Steve Kerr. Did you see that?
No, I did not.
So Muffet McGraw, Notre Dame women's coach, took a picture with Roy Williams, and it was just those two, and it says in the tweet, or maybe it's Instagram, I don't know, but it says, support group meeting of former champions on handling the adversity of this season. Hey, yo, Steve Kerr, we are holding the spot for you. Wow. That is so cold-blooded, man. I'm like...
Sorry. I just saw Joel's face, and I was like,
Right, that was just for us.
And Steve Kerr responds with, I'm fine, Muffet. What are you talking about? With a gif of somebody jumping off a cliff. It was outstanding, but that's the group that Roy Williams is in right now. He's a Steve Kerr right now where, boy, things could probably not look worse for his program at this moment. Now, you say he's got a recruit coming in. I'm telling you, there's some of the talk nationally.
No, I'm saying he needs another recruiting class, and if he gets a couple of, you know, McDonald's All-Americans again, I think he'll be fine. I don't think he's in trouble. I think Carolina loves him unless he decides he's just had enough and wants to walk away. But that's the pressure. That's why you see a John Beilein that's willing to take the jump from a successful program at Michigan and all the things he's done collegiately and say, hey, you know what? I can take more money to go to the NBA, and the quick snapshot from a college coach's perspective is, and I don't have to stress about every year if I don't recruit well. Because all it takes is one bad recruiting class and having a year like Roy Williams is having. And if you don't have the reputation of a coach like Beilein or Roy Williams, you are squarely in the crosshairs. So you go to the NBA and then you don't realize the trade-off is you don't have to recruit, but the guys that were there before you got there make more money than you and they're crotchety veterans and they're going to come at you and that's going to probably suck more.
Yeah, but and I guess if you're Carolina, you have to look at it and think, what is the alternative? Is there somebody that you feel like you could turn the program over to? Because it's such a storied program that you can't just give it to anybody, right? I mean, right. You almost have to, if you move on from Roy Williams, it's almost like you have to bring back the hologram of Dean Smith, let him coach for a while.
I'm surprised that hasn't been like considered, you know, get like a hologram coach.
Right.
When's that going to happen?
It might happen in North Carolina if they're not careful.
Like, if you're Texas, right?
Uh-huh.
If you got Shaka Smart after going
That's
Rick
what I
Barnes.
Was just about to ask.
If you have Shaka Smart and he's teetering, but if you're going to replace him, can you get someone better?
I was going to say, what about John Beilein or Beilein?
Beilein. No, I think Beilein's going to be a college coach at the end of this year.
How about Texas?
So it's a possibility.
Did you see their attendance? Casey Smith tweeted out, I think it was Casey Smith, tweeted out a picture 8 minutes before tip-off. There was no one in there. I am so proud of U of H at this point.
But
when you consider the two programs and which one should be the better program all the time and should have the bigger, better support from a fan base versus a commuter school and, you know, a fly-by-night city. Like, bro, Austin's UT should be packed every week.
But Barry, to
no
your
matter
point,
what. I couldn't believe
they're building a new arena at UT and they're going to do exactly what U of
smaller?
H did. Yeah, because
it
they
help.
Can't,
there
you
was
can't
25
it.
People in the stands.
Yeah, the
eight
Irwin Center,
the
they don't
off.
Get anybody there.
Boy, that was embarrassing.
I heard it was because it was across the street from the campus on campus. That's what Craig told me.
It's because they had to walk.
Yeah, because everybody's going to make excuses.
We have to cross that street. There's no way we're going to fight all this traffic.
Yeah.
When you look at, you had Kevin Durant and TJ Ford and all the guys, you know, all the guys,
Tucker.
Tristan Thompson, PJ Tucker, all the guys that are in the NBA that you had at UT. And all of a sudden, and Shaka was the name.
Oh, man. Huge name.
Yeah, because I'm from Milwaukee. Marquette's in Milwaukee. Marquette wanted him desperately, and he held on, and then he wanted a bigger job, and he got UT, and everybody's like, wow, what a great fit that's going to be. And it just hasn't worked out. And I got to believe if they don't make the tournament and win a couple games this year, he could be out there. And then it's like you said, who do we upgrade with?
Muffet McGraw.
No.
Think we'll ever see a women's coach in men's?
It's
basketball.
Coming. It's coming. Yeah. It's coming because of the fact that you look at what's going on in the NFL, and the NFL in that locker room environment is probably as tumultuous from an HR standpoint. And now the Rams just hired a full-time female coach. The Redskins have done it. The Niners already have one.
Is it possible that that's Becky Hammon's first job? Would you maybe let her coach a few years in college just to get head coaching experience?
Only if she wants to do it, because she's going to be the first one to do it in the NBA.
Oh, I mean, we all know that, right?
Yeah.
But, like, would it make more sense to maybe give her a high-profile program for a couple years? Or maybe fly under the radar program for a couple years?
It's recruiting, and that's a different animal.
Well, that's true.
So I think that, she's gained the respect of the NBA guys and should go right to the NBA.
Isn't that crazy? More than anything in college, it's not about – coaching is literally number two on the resume.
John Calipari doesn't know basketball, but he's made a living of it because he recruits his ass off.
It's crazy.
I kid, but when I've sat behind the bench for Kentucky and Memphis games, he's got assistants that handle the X's and O's. He just screams a lot and recruits his ass off.
Wow.
And he's made millions.
All right, coming back, I want to talk about a couple things from the game last night.
Okay.
And it has nothing to do with U of H. By the way, Steelers fan Juan, shut up. He was like, you said you enjoy basketball and then you bitch about it? No. I wasn't bitching about U of H or the basketball. I was talking about the outside of the game stuff, like the worst shooting at halftime, the worst football throw, and the worst t-shirt cannon. So we'll talk about that and row etiquette. I got to get to the bottom of this.
I got stuff to add for you.
It's important. Okay.
Yeah. All right. So there's the tease from Barry, which never happens. So that's outstanding. We'll roll through more of the first hour of the show. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back rolling through the first hour of the show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. And who gives them a hard time?
Huh?
Yeah.
It got cold in here.
What do you get a parka on?
Yeah, it looks like you just came from a snowy climate.
It's cold. Yeah. Sorry if you hear the rustling of my jacket.
Where was your little non-fitting beanie you were wearing earlier?
Non-fitting?
Yeah. It was above your ears.
Yeah, that's how you wear it. It was
you
just
wear a ski cap. It's supposed to keep your head warm, so you cover your ears, at least the top of your
ears. My ears weren't cold. Just my newly shaven bald head was cold. So that's what I covered. Huh?
Do you own a scarf?
I do not own a scarf.
I don't know why. You just seem like a scarf man to me.
Are you saying I'm effeminate?
No,
are you saying scarves are for
scarves are cool.
Feminine dudes?
You and Serge Ibaka.
And Raheel. I feel like Raheel's a scarf guy,
yeah,
right?
For sure.
Yeah.
Now, you probably.
Now, Raheel would look good in a scarf. Me, not so much.
Of the two of you, I would bet Trey has seen this. But this is the new fashion statement taking the NBA
by storm. Wait. Time. Hold on. Before you continue, and I want to let you. You think he has a better sense of fashion than me? Is that what you're saying? Okay.
Because it was trending and it was NBA related.
Oh, okay,
I thought it was the chances were slim and none that you'd seen this.
Probably accurate. So I got in trouble by Aaron because he was like, don't you watch the news? I was like, I don't watch anything. I don't care about anything. Nothing.
Video games.
Don't you watch Brockmire?
No, not anymore. Oh. I literally don't watch or care about anything.
Video games, Trey. He plays video games every night till 3 in the morning.
You're quite the nihilist.
I don't even know what that means.
I don't either, by the way.
I'll look it up later.
So the NBA, the Raptors started this. Serge Ibaka got a scarf that looks like it should fit the Jolly Green Giant.
Okay.
It is mammoth. And he wore it to a game, and suddenly the guys on his team started giving him a hard time about it. Then all of a sudden they started to jump on board with it. Then every Raptor going to a game was wearing a scarf. Then they were on the team plane taking pictures, and they all had it, and it was like boa constrictor and bigger size scarfs, and it's become the thing now.
Really?
This looks bad.
Did you see the one? There's a couple of them that are just like, they're about 6 feet wide. They look like a blanket that he just wrapped around his neck that are like as long as his body.
That's what I was about to say. I was fixing to say, like, he just took the duvet off his bed and wrapped it around his neck.
Yep, and that's a thing now.
So it's his scarf, huh?
So I would anticipate if it stays chilly when the Rockets come back on the red carpet as they walk from their cars to the locker room, that they will be at some point showing some scarf.
Yeah, it's literally like someone took an Afghan that was knitted for them by their grand.
Yep.
And was like, well, this is a scarf now. I mean, that's literally what it looks like.
It's now a thing.
Actually, that scarf, that brown one, looks like a penis.
Well,
didn't even wait till the 3 o'clock hour.
I was going to say, you didn't.
But there on the Twitch, you can see that it clearly looks like he's wearing a big Afghan peen. So.
And you said the magic word.
What?
When I told you the other day that someone said when Barry's doing research, whatever he's looking for turns out penis.
but that one was the case, right?
I don't get the fact that the scarf is the length of his entire frame as he's walking down the hallway.
It's very weird.
It looks like a dress.
If you step on your scarf, it's too long.
I agree.
It's way too long. Yeah. Okay, let's get into this. We've teased it long enough, and you've killed half the segment that I was going to do it in, so it'll probably bleed over.
That's my glasses hitting the desk. Go ahead.
It's getting hot in here.
Oh, my God. Because you're drinking coffee.
How is it like 100 degrees in here now?
It's got hot, right? All of a sudden.
He changed the temp. He fixed the thermostat. He put a coat on. And he's drinking coffee. You don't think it's going to get a little warmer for him?
That makes sense.
So last night, first things first, let's get this out of the way. Is it a rule at halftime shows that they get the most unathletic person in the building to take the halftime shot?
Sure, you think about it. You know why.
Oh, my God. So they got this dude. He had to do. He had to make a layup, a free throw, a three-point shot, and a half-court shot.
And the prize was?
I have no idea.
See, that's,
I didn't pay attention.
No, thank you.
But they get this dude, and he misses five layups in a row. And form? Forget about it. Now, I don't want to say that the other black folks in the arena were upset with this dude and embarrassing the culture. Mm-hmm. This is pretty bad, though.
He made you look like a basketball player?
He made me. Yeah. It was awful. Like,
really?
Yeah.
Was he a student?
Like, huh?
Was he a student?
Like, I don't know. Yeah, I think so.
Well, that's why I asked about the prizes. Because normally, if the prizes are like tuition or they do things like for the students that are like, if they make the half court, it's obviously the biggest prize. But it's normally a big deal. That's why you get people that suck so that they don't win the big prize.
He missed five layups in a row, then finally makes one. And I'm not kidding you. This is why I thought of it. There's a black dude sitting like in the row in front of me and off. He goes, really? Bro, you're embarrassing the culture.
Wow.
So I was like, yeah, that'll happen. And then he his shot was awful. So he finally makes a free throw and pretty quickly, finally sinks the three-pointer. Then he gets to half court, and he went two hands from the ball touches in between his shoulder blades.
He did
and
the Jack Sigma baseline shot.
He just ball behind the head, heaves it three times. Then he gets it back, and he starts dribbling. Like he's shaking somebody at half court, almost loses the ball, and then not even like, you know how layup, you go off one foot? Yeah. Goes off the wrong foot at half court, completely misses everything. It was an abomination of half court shooting. It was the worst display of shooting I have ever seen in my whole life.
Well, let's not go too far. You've seen yourself shoot, right?
Well, somebody asked me, did he not? Shock was like, did he not try the old hooksy?
Yeah.
I was like, he would have had a better chance if he would have hook shotted it from half court. Trust me on that. This was awful.
Wow.
Is that really what they do? They get the worst people. Yeah. They think they're going
to
lose.
That way they don't have to give
out
the prize.
That way they don't have to give out the prize.
That makes sense.
That's dirty.
Because like, you think about it. If they the sponsor's like, giving you a certain amount of money, but they're like, but if you get five people that win during the course of a season,
they're not happy.
That money's used up and they're pissed.
But he looked athletic, though. That's just it. They were probably like, so what do you do? He's
so
like,
you
oh,
stereotyped someone?
No, I'm just saying he looked athletic.
Okay.
He didn't look out of shape. I mean, he didn't look like Trey or me or nothing.
Yeah, he didn't look like me.
So
the thing is, if you're using a college ball too, you could just do like a baseball throw.
Yeah,
you got a chance.
Yeah, no, he didn't. He did the old two-handed behind the shoulder heave.
That's not good.
It was awful.
Isn't the court shorter in college as well? Like, so you have a better
like
chance.
Like 5 feet.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty bad. And then there, at one point, not at halftime, but at one point, they decided to do the T-shirt cannon. Worst T-shirt cannon ever. Now, again, I don't want to blame U of H because it's probably not
there. I blame up the Game Ops guy. It's the Game Ops
guy's fault.
It's the
Game Ops guy. Yep. I don't know if this thing needed to be calibrated, but they loaded in a U of H shirt, and I'm like, here we go. And it gets about three rows deep and opens up like a parachute and just
That's
falls.
That's cool.
No.
Cool?
Cool.
You're pissed off if you're a student in the section up above or something going, why can't you get me a shirt?
So then I'm like, well, that just, they didn't wind that shirt tight enough. That obviously didn't. Then they turn to the baseline. And it just unfurls again. I'm like, why are they shooting parachutes? And like, they literally never got a shirt past like the fifth or sixth row.
If it actually would have went to the student center, though, that'd be pretty neat. Like if it became like a parachute.
How about just give the folks at the top rows a chance?
Yeah, student center or student section?
Student section.
I mean, the student section. Center,
that's really
that would have been a hell of a shot.
Shot it through the Fertitta Center.
All right? I didn't go to college.
So that was that. And then my co-host on Sundays, Lauren Leal, is the in-stadium.
She's the Raheel of U of H hoops.
Correct. Yep. She's the in-stadium. What do they call that?
In-arena host.
In-arena host. And they have a football. And they did this last home game where they got Greg Ward Jr. and some other folks to sign it. And then someone throws it in the stands. Well, lo and behold, guess who's courtside? Andre Johnson's sitting there. First seat, first, you know. So she walks over. She goes, Andre Johnson's here. And everyone's going crazy. She's like, would you sign this football? Not having it. He was not pleased about it. It was obvious he did not know they were doing this.
Wow.
So he signs it reluctantly, and then they're like, throw it into the stands. and he threw a duck that hit a lady in the chest. I was like, who would have thought a football player can't throw a football? It was awful. But Noah and I, the listener that went, we looked at each other and was like, that's why he's a receiver. It was a duck. It was terrible. And then it hits this lady and I was like, wow, this is not. Thank God the Cougars are good on the court. Because some of that just was hilarious. And none of that's their fault. They maybe tell Andre Johnson next time or something. The t-shirt cannon could be calibrated and, you know, maybe get someone that can shoot a shot. Well, but I don't blame.
You don't hold back on anybody. You just bashed Andre Johnson for his throwing ability.
Throw was a duck. It was a duck. Wow. What do you want? He's thrown a football a couple times. He should have not.
You would think.
Yeah, come on. You got to do better than that, AJ. I love you to death, but, you know, wound somebody out there. You know what? It almost did. The t-shirts went further. I'm just kidding. That's true.
Nice. That wraps up hour number one.
That was harsh.
Yeah, it was a bit harsh on a Hall of Fame, potentially Hall of Fame wide receiver and one of the best.
Not a quarterback, though. Not a quarterback.
In Texans history. Okay. 1 hour in the book. Still 2 hours to go. Plenty more to show to get to a lot of different things. If you want to join in, 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line. Call, text, hit us on Twitter. It's the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5.